Happy Feast.
Happy Feast.
You know, many times coming to church, you know, for Sabbath services, Knight and I pass a lot of cemeteries. And each time I go through a cemetery, you know, I start to remember that at some time in the future, I might be asleep too, just like other people have been asleep in the past. And it reminds me how important God's plan is and what this particular feast, the role that this particular feast also plays in our lives. And it says, you know, we pass by and I always say, I'll see you in the second resurrection or the first resurrection, whatever is applicable, you know, to you. And it's a beautiful solder in the spirit of gratitude and hope for what God has done for us in terms of the plan that he has in place. And if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, and we'll go to very familiar verse for us, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, I'll be reading from the King James Version. It talks about the first resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And for these people who are sleeping right now, even though some of them have been there for perhaps centuries or millennia, okay, when they wake up, it's just like, what happened? You know, I just went to bed. I just, you know, perished. So it's going to be like Paul says, he's in the twinkling of an eye. It's just like closing your eyes, and then when you're back in reality, it's like time has, you know, has had no effect in the lives of these people who are currently sleeping. So that's wonderful news. That's wonderful news. Also related to resurrections, but this time relate to the second resurrection. If you turn to Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to start in verse 3, and I'm going to be reading for the ESV version. Ezekiel 37. And there's another beautiful and hopeful prophecy. So in Ezekiel 37, verse 3, and he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord that has the power to bring people back to life. Continue in verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Can you imagine what it's going to be? The whole of humanity, not just the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We're indeed cut off. There's a lot of people to doubt what happens after death. God said, it's a sure thing. I'm going to bring you back to life. I will bring you back to life. It continues, therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, excuse me, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. Returning to the first resurrection, Romans 8, starting in verse 11. Romans 8, verse 11. Here Paul also assures us one more time. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So it's a sure thing. Resurrection is a sure thing. We'll be brought back to life. And if we're alive at the time of Jesus Christ's return, we'll be transformed and changed into spirit beings. And this seems aligns beautifully with the significance among the many meanings of the Day of Trumpets. It is a very significant message that God is communicating to us. And it's also not only a prophetic message, it's a message of celebration. That's why it is a feast. It is a day to be happy. It is a day to be joyful. And above all, it's a day to be grateful that we have such a wonderful Father in Jesus Christ, our elder brother. And it reminds me of Psalm 103. Because this day, we can celebrate a few things. One of them that we can celebrate is the gift that God is giving us, the gift of eternal life, the gift of the resurrection. But I think there's a more important gift that we have, and it's the fact that God I am. The fact that God I am. He is, his character, his person, his being. The resurrection is just an outcome of love, it's an act of love. But who is behind that act of law, of love? So it's God in his presence, in his truth, in his being, his identity is something that needs to be loved and is something that needs to be celebrated. And in Psalm 103, it's a beautiful way that David expresses gratitude, a gratitude that we should also have towards the Father, and just celebrating him for who he is. Not just what he does for us, for who he is. And what he deserves, all the love that we can, you know, come, you know, share from our heart to this very special Father that we have in heaven, and our brother, Jesus Christ. In verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity and heal all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And his place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. To those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his work, obeying his voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So, brethren, this is a day of festivity. This is a day of thanksgiving. This is a day of gratitude. But above all, let's remember who our Father is, his character, his identity, his being, and how we're blessed by just the fact that he's there being who he is and the love that he's constantly showing towards us.